Welcome to The Scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Craig Zamer, Director of Choral Activities at Tennessee Tech and Artistic Director of the Master Singers. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Why don't you give me a little bit of background on yourself, on your training and music in general, and everything we need to know.
Sure. Well, I mean, as far as music is concerned, music has kind of been a part of my life for a very long time. I can remember my parents taking me to go see musical theater shows. And one of the first times, like as a kid, that I didn't fall asleep in the middle of a thing, whether it was a church service or some other thing that my parents took me to, it was a show. It was Godspell. And I stayed awake the entire time. And
hard
so
to fall asleep during that
well, it is. It's a little bit hard. But basically, since then, I've been involved in things with music. I played in middle school band. I played trombone. I did a little bit of piano when I was younger. And then it wasn't really until I got into middle school and high school that I started singing, like in choirs and in my high school choir. I kind of got into my high school choir. I sang in an 18 voice madrigal choir, and literally all we did was sing 16th century, like Italian or English madrigals, maybe sometimes in French. So that was my exposure to choral music. And it wasn't until like I got into an all county choir, and then eventually I made all district choir, and then I managed to make it into all state choir in Virginia, that I got exposed to singing in large ensembles. And it was kind of at that time that my eyes were open to the world of choral music, because again, my focus had been like, oh, choral music is singing madrigals. And no. The world was way bigger than my scope was at that time. And kind of in those experiences, I felt compelled to teach. I kind of wanted to be that person on the podium working with those students. And so went to Virginia Tech for my undergraduate degree. It was a double major in music, vocal performance and music education. I went and taught choral music up in Northern Virginia for a few years. And then after that, I went down to Tallahassee, Florida, and I got my master's and doctorate degree there, but all in choral music education. And after I finished the dissertation, I moved here with my wife and my 1-year-old daughter at that time in 2007. And I've been here in Cookeville and at Tennessee Tech and with the Cookeville Master Singers since I arrived.
So that's quite the journey.
Indeed.
What's different about Cookeville compared to Virginia and Florida?
Well, there's actually a lot of similarity, I find. And my wife and I, we are high school sweethearts. I can admit that here. So we've known each other since we were juniors in high school, and we dated all through the rest of high school and all the way through college. We got married right after college, and we were both teachers. Tallahassee was definitely different because it was kind of more of a city. Blacksburg, Virginia was definitely a college town. When I grew up in Blacksburg. And so there used to be like farmland where there's now malls and all this other stuff that has kind of grown up in that area. And so my wife and I both say that Cookeville reminds us of the way Blacksburg used to be when we were younger. So kind of small, quiet college town, and we really enjoy it.
I love that. And coming from somewhere else, coming from Detroit area, mm-hmm. way different.
Right, sure.
I was like, oh, there's things besides asphalt and broken down cars.
Right.
And I love Detroit, but it is such an adjustment. Mm-hmm. And it's growing so quickly. Tech is growing. Yeah, everything's
sure.
growing. So
yes.
Like that, just getting used to the changes there.
Well, my wife is waiting for Target. We're waiting for that shoe to drop, and then she will be completely content.
She is not the only one, but I'm pretty sure my checking account is really happy.
There are definitely pros. It's not a bad thing necessarily.
That's absolutely true. We'll be right back on The Scene with more with Craig Zamer.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm talking today to Craig Zamer, director of all things chorale and Master Singers. So I remember my introduction to Master Singers was Unity in the Community in 2020. Which I know you just had the second one recently, and there were some big differences between the two. The first one, you had the school from Memphis come in.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I know it's been a few years, but it was just such a cool concert.
Oh, yeah. So there were so many cool things about that concert, and that was right before everything shut down.
It was the last thing I did before everything
pretty
shut
much.
Down.
It was the last thing that I conducted before everything shut down. But it kind of combined two really great things. Number one, we performed Andre Thomas's gospel mass that he wrote. And Dr. Thomas is one of my former professors from Florida State. And so, you know, having an opportunity to work with him and for him to teach me and be a part of the Tallahassee Community Chorus. One of my years in my doctorate degree, he actually had me as an assistant director of the Tallahassee Community Chorus. So that's kind of where I kind of found my footing with community choir. The Tallahassee Community Chorus is like 300 voices strong. It's huge, but we're also talking about a city as opposed to our neck of the woods.
Yes.
So number one, I had an opportunity to actually perform his mass, at the American Choral Directors Association, conference. He kind of premiered the work there with the Tallahassee Community Chorus, and he invited some of his grad students to come back and be a part of the choir. And so being able to kind of sing through that with him, I knew it was something that I wanted to share with our community and with my choir. At the same time, I had recently become acquainted with an amazing choral director in the Memphis area. His name is Adrian Macklin, and he is an incredible person and an incredible choral conductor. I was down judging on the west side of Tennessee in the Memphis area, and his choir performed, and my jaw just hit the table that I was sitting at. And I just I wrote nothing down on my paper because I could just do nothing but listen and be in awe of the choir that he had. And basically after their performance, I went up and talked with him and I was like, we have got to get together at some point. I'd love to have you come up to Cookeville at some point. We just need to find the right piece and we need to find. And so when I decided that we were going to perform Dr. Thomas's mass, I immediately thought of Adrian. And so luckily we were able to kind of work out the funding. He was able to get, the bus and the expenses for all of that. We were able to help with their hotels. So we were able to bring that choir. And that concert was more than just show up and perform, but they came early enough where my tech chorale, the Master Singers, and Adrian's choir, we all got to interact. We did some kind of workshop stuff where we talked about unity and what that means and what we as individuals can do to build unity in our own communities. And then just so that experience by itself, and then it was such a mountaintop experience to have orchestra and the Master Singers and have everybody come together for that performance. It was a great performance to have right before everything kind of shut down. And then so the concert we just had, which was just, it was back in it was at the beginning of March that we had our Unity in the Community. It's actually our seventh Unity in the Community concert.
Okay. My bad.
It's okay. So I started Unity in the Community a while ago. But again, it's kind of had its hiatus because of COVID and everything. This time we brought in with the theme for our Unity concert this time was celebrating diversity in faith. And so what I tried to do musically was provide music that was all basically music of expressions of faith, but from different perspective, different cultures. And so we had a piece that the choir sang that was both in Hebrew and Arabic. We had a Jewish prayer. We had a song where the text came from the Book of Mormon. We had all of these examples, and we actually had Dr. Paul Bassler, who's from the University of Florida, and he's a composer and a horn player. And so he came and collaborated with us on this performance, and it was a really great experience.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Craig Zamer. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Craig Zamer, director of Chorale at Tech and Master Singers. What's coming up for Tech Chorale?
The Tech Chorale and my TTU concert choir has just finished their spring concert. It was really, really well attended and exciting repertoire. But the Tech Chorale is actually going to be combining with the Cookeville Master Singers for a concert here at the end of April with a piece called Illuminare by composer Elaine Hagenberg. It's a really, really exciting work. It's Elaine's first multi-movement piece of choral music that she's written. She's kind of really been known for her writing of choral music that is particularly mostly sacred, but she's written some other secular music as well. And the Illuminare is, the text of it is almost completely all in Latin, and kind of your unexpected Latin text, not your typical, it's like not a mass setting or some of the texts that you're used to hearing when you hear choral music perform. But the piece itself is kind of a musical journey. And basically, Illuminare is this idea of light and shining. And so the first two movements that she has in the work are kind of depictions of light and of love. The second movement is called Caritas. And Caritas means where, so it comes from like the Latin where it says ubi caritas, and that is where charity and love exist, there is God. And so that text is in the second movement, but then it's kind of juxtaposed in the middle. There's a movement called Nox, and it literally translates to night. And literally, I mean, some of the stuff that we've been talking about earlier, with COVID and everything, it's kind of this struggle through night back to the light. And so the third movement is super powerful. It's got, it's really intense. The choir has to sing a lot of words really fast in Latin. So my choirs are really enjoying working on that Latin text, that goes by so fast. But then it brings us back out of the darkness, and talks about, not being afraid, and brings us into the final movement, which is Illuminare. And, it's a piece that I came to know by my association with a group called the Festival Singers of Florida. And this choir exists down in the state of Florida, and I'm connected to it because of my time at FSU. The artistic director of that group is my major professor, Dr. Kevin Fenton, and been associated with that group since I've been here in Cookeville as well. I go down there to rehearse and sing with them, and sometimes I get to direct them. And we actually were one of the choirs to premiere the work in its first performances, which happened last year. It was a part of a consortium, so there were conductors that got together and they put the money together to make the piece happen. And then after the year ends with that, then it becomes available to anybody who wants to perform it. And so once again, kind of like the Dr. Thomas Mass, I got to experience this piece of music And I was so moved by it that I was like, we have to do this piece. And so I wanted to bring it in and kind of coming off. We had a decent year last year, but I really feel like we've hit our stride kind of getting back to normal and seeing the other side of what we've all kind of gone through, that this piece specifically just kind of spoke to me and felt like it was the right time to do it.
I love that. And that sounds amazing. So you'll mention Elaine, she's coming for a special preview event.
Yeah, we're really excited. When I contacted Elaine about our premiere, she was like, oh, I would love to come. And so we have kind of worked it out. She's going to be here in Cookeville for our Tennessee premiere. So this will be the first performance of the work in the state. She's going to be here for our concert that's going to be on April 30th. It's at 3 p.m. at the Bryan Fine Arts Building. She's also going to be here for a very special VIP reception that we're having the evening before the performance. It'll also be at the Bryan Fine Arts Building. It's 4:30 p.m. and tickets are available at mastersingersinc.com. And you can, for the reception as well, the reception is VIP. So we're asking for $100 towards this VIP reception to get a chance to meet her and talk with her.
Sounds amazing. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.